The attacks of 9/11 and the war in Iraq highlighted a shortage in the U.S. government. The military, intelligence, and diplomatic communities all suffer from a lack of Arabic speakers. As NPR's Anthony Brooks reports, on campuses this fall, there's now a heightened interest in studying Arabic. But there's a shortage of qualified people to teach the language.
Amira El Zain is late. She clutches an armful of papers and books and rushes from the copy room to the classroom, where she greets 16 students in her second-year Arabic class. Professor El Zain of Tufts University, just outside of Boston, is an Arab-American who grew up in Lebanon. She teaches with energy and discipline, quickly immersing her students in a series of exercises in conversation, grammar, and on this day, a reading of a letter from an Arabic textbook. Tufts has a relatively small Arabic language program, but it's growing. When Professor El Zain came here 2 years ago, she was part-time, teaching just a handful of students. Now she's the full-time head of an expanding program.
We had one section of Arabic, maybe 14, 15 students, and now we have three sections of first year, 70 students, only the first year. It is really incredible.
Okay. We are going to do a dictation.
A national survey found that between 1998 and 2002, the year after the 9/11 attacks, the number of American college students taking Arabic nearly doubled, from more than 5,000 to more than 10,000. Among them, Joe Jaffe, a senior at Tufts from New York. Jaffe is an Army veteran hoping to work as a security consultant in the Middle East.
That's the most critical area on the planet right now. Without broadly profiling more than I need to, that's where the trouble's coming from. And instead of passing judgment, if you learn Arabic and learn more Arabic culture, you might have a better opportunity to understand intermediate.
My name is David Nguyen. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm studying Arabic because it's going to be an important language, just as probably many of you thought Russian was an important language to learn during the Cold War.
So this is something of a boomlet on campuses. In the past 3 years, the Department of Education and the Pentagon have pumped more than $2 million into academia to remedy an acute shortage of Arabic speakers. Professor El Zain of Tufts is encouraged by the new interest, but she hopes it's about more than just jobs.
Because I want them to be a generation that will open up bridges between the Arab world and the States. There is a lack of understanding from Americans of the Arab world that is really stunning, to say the least.
But despite the growth in Arabic studies, there are still very few American students learning the language. So says Richard Brecht of the University of Maryland, who directs the National Foreign Language Center.
Right now, 10,000 students studying Arabic at the university level is a very paltry number compared to 800,000 students studying Spanish. And of those, only 10% reach a level of proficiency who are capable of doing a minimal job professionally for the government or for NGOs or for business.
But even with such modest numbers, the increase means universities are facing a shortage of qualified Arabic teachers.
All the decent Arabic teachers in the United States have been hired.
Professor Roger Allen directs one of the country's largest Arabic programs at the University of Pennsylvania. He says enrollment has quadrupled in the past 2 years, so he needs more teachers. But he says post-9/11 visa and immigration rules have made hiring native speakers from the Middle East a long and difficult process.
It's just a major problem right now whether people are really going to put themselves through this whole process in order to have the privilege of coming to the United States. An increasing number of people I know say, no, I'm not going to put myself through that. Why should I?
The shortage of teachers isn't the only challenge. Arabic is an extremely difficult language to learn, and some in academia say it requires more focus, time, and attention than traditional college classes can offer. Ahmad Rushdie from Cairo, who teaches Arabic here at Penn, says 4 hours a week is simply not enough to teach an ancient and complex language that sounds so foreign to a Western ear.
You know, the sounds of Arabic, first of all, sounds of Arabic not really similar to sounds in other languages. Like, for example, the sound a, the sound it doesn't exist. The sound kh, sound gh. It's a difficult language.
My first Arabic professor said it'll take 20 years at least to become truly fluent.
Sarah Sowen is pursuing a PhD in political science at Penn and has been studying Arabic since her freshman year.
I noticed in my Arabic class my first year of college there were about 100 people in the class. My fourth year of college there were 3. It is difficult.
Particularly for linguistically isolated Americans. Scholars here at Penn and elsewhere say the challenge requires a stepped-up national commitment, including more federal funds and Arabic classes that begin well before college at the K-12 level. That would do a lot, they say, to help build that bridge of understanding between East and West. Anthony Brooks, NPR News.